What do we really know about hurricanes and climate change? I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner. This is ClimateCast. I am shocked, just like everybody else, at Hurricane Dorian's unfathomable destruction in the Bahamas. But many of us in the meteorological and climate community knew it was only a matter of time until we'd see a hurricane do what Dorian just did. And there's a lot of confusion out there about how a warmer planet impacts hurricanes. So what precisely does the science tell us about hurricanes and climate change? Jim Kosin is a hurricane expert and climate expert with NOAA. He joins me from the Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Hi, Jim. Thanks for talking today.
Yes, hello. Thanks for having me on.
Jim, I talk to a lot of people. I hear confusion about this. So let's just break down some hurricane impacts and connect the dots on what the science says about climate change. First, we know the number of hurricanes is not necessarily increasing, but does the data support more intense hurricanes?
We do have a fair amount of confidence that these storms get stronger as the planet warms. And what's key here is that the average intensity goes up a bit, but where we really see the biggest signal is up at the strongest storms.
Let's talk about those strongest storms for a minute. I think it's something like 13 Category 5 storms in the Atlantic Basin since the year 2000. Are Category 5s increasing? What are the trends there?
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're finding it.
How about slower hurricanes? How good is the data on weaker steering currents and slower hurricanes?
If we look back over the continental United States, which is where our hurricane data is best, we have the most confidence in it, and we look all the way back to the year 1900 to present, so about 120 years, we see a clear slowdown of about 17%. And that's a long enough period to say that this does not appear to be natural variability.
And let's talk about why that's important. You say, on average, a 17% reduction in the forward speed of hurricanes. You use a term in one of your papers called impact region track residence times. That's a little geeky, but tell us what a very stalled hurricane does to wind, surge, and rainfall impacts.
The way I like to think about it is if you put a shower head on the end of a hose and you turn the knob to get the water on, the more you open the knob, the more rain rate you're getting. That kind of increase would be because the air is warmer, it's holding more water vapor. Now walk with that shower head in your hand, and how quickly you walk will tell you how much of that water lands on the ground in any particular place. And that's what we really care about, because that's where people live. So if you stand still with that shower head, you're going to get an awful lot of rain. Now, before Dorian happened, I would say that's the number one problem with a stalled hurricane. But Dorian was also incredibly strong. The amount of damage that's done is a function not just of wind speed, but it's also a function of duration of the event, how long that wind is blowing against the structure or the ocean. So what we saw in Dorian was not just an enormous amount of freshwater flooding, but also an enormous amount of saltwater storm surge flooding and an enormous amount of wind damage. Ultimately, you couldn't ask for a worse situation than that.
Obviously, Jim, the critical damage element of hurricanes is whether they make landfall or not. Is there any insight to storm tracks and hurricane landfalls, or is it just still luck of the draw from year to year?
It's mostly luck of the draw, and the reason for that is that the tracks are slaves to the atmospheric circulation patterns, or the day-to-day winds is perhaps a better way to say that. And we all know, walk outside and the winds change quite a lot just throughout a single day. So the amount of variation that we get with the winds is really quite high, and that creates a much more random aspect to where these storms go. That being said, there are some systematic changes in track that have been observed. They do tend in many places on the planet to be migrating poleward, which ends up exposing regions that aren't quite used to being exposed to these storms. There's a little bit of evidence that maybe storm tracks will shy a little bit away from the U.S. East Coast, but these are noisy signals at best.
Jim Kosin with NOAA's Cooperative Institute for Meteorological Satellite Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks so much for your perspective on ClimateCast today.
It was a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me on.
That's ClimateCast. I'm NPR Chief Meteorologist Paul Huttner.